Hold yourself, hold yourself.
I know you just your music.
Super excited.
Intro music?
Oh.
Is it Kanye?
Am I rich? Can't afford that. Brevin Zollinger. Zollinger, right?
Zollinger.
I like Zollinger. I don't know why you don't like
Zollinger. That's wrong.
Okay. Okay. You're here.
I am here.
Are you cold?
No, not necessarily.
You got the flannel t-shirt. Brevin's a big flannel t-shirt guy.
I've got two of them, so if that makes me a big flannel guy, then
well,
that's
fine. Well, but like
fine.
You combine them is what I'm saying. You don't go a solo flannel.
No, definitely not. I'm not a farmer.
That's like a, you could be.
I'm
Zollinger,
from
isn't there a Zollinger, what is it? It's a great, no.
It's a tree farm.
Cool. Is it a tree farm?
It's not really a farm, I don't think.
What?
Can you call it a tree farm, even though that's the name?
Well, you have to give it water, and then you got to take care of it. It's
not
like
fine.
It's not like you're doing nothing. I don't know what qualifies a farm, but yeah. I think you're getting close at least. Brevin, how did we meet? I'm curious. So I have a story on this. Like I know how this story goes in my head, but every time me and Brevin were ex-roommates. We're ex-roommates currently, and. Every time one of the three roommates tells the story, it goes differently. So I'm actually kind of curious. How do you remember?
See, that's the problem. I really have no recollection of like when I actually met you. I just remember playing basketball with you.
I make a great first impression here, folks. I'm doing
like I just remember maybe Alex told me, our other roommate, that he found someone else that was good at basketball that was going to come play with us. And then I got really disappointed when you showed up.
But
then I just remember you showing up to basketball and then playing every week. Yeah. We weren't even necessarily friends that year.
No, I mean, you and Alex either. Like it was like,
no, it was mutual, it was just ball, like yeah. Strictly ball.
So me, you, and then our friend Alex Kinnear were roommates last year. But like we all went to freshman year at Utah State and then we played basketball together, as you mentioned, and then, but then, we didn't hang out. Like we never hung out.
No.
But then there was this one time. It was like this, like, it was this real fanatic thing where, like, at the end of the year, we all went to Chick-fil-A and we ate outside, which was actually like really telling of where we are now. I'm just saying, it was like
romantic
foresight, a little bit romantic. look, it's good looking apartment. What do you want from me? And we agreed that we should be roommates after our missions. We all served missions for the Church of Jesus Christ, and then we all got back. And then, like, we still didn't even know each other that well, but, like, we were all so deprived of, like,
and
friendship.
Like, we might have emailed each other, like, twice. And
yeah, there was
I definitely
like a,
didn't have Alex's email right.
I didn't either.
The whole time,
or
so.
I think we did. He just didn't email back. Let's real talk. Like, I don't know. Like,
that's probably it.
He probably had a lot of chicas to be writing. But yeah, so then we were roommates last year. That was an eventful year for everybody.
It was a whole year, wasn't
different,
it?
Different reasons, but it was, I guess, about, whatever, 9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, this leads me to my follow-up question, which is like, are we friends?
Yes,
or like,
we're friends.
Well, okay, but like, sometimes I just feel like we're high-quality acquaintances. Like, I don't know. Like,
I guess it depends on like your definition of a friend. Like, I have a lot of friends back home that I still haven't seen since I've been home from my mission.
And you count
so,
them
like,
as, well.
I still count them as like good friends.
I mean, like, we've had so much fun, like, all the time. But like, I can't remember, like, I think three memories outside of the apartment where like we actually like went and did something together. And that's partly because you and Alex are just the most antisocial people. I don't get it. Like I'd be like, hey, let's go do this thing, and then one of you it would alternate. That was the best part. It would be like, nah, nah, like that exact noise. I don't know, sometimes words.
Yeah.
And then no, all right, so we're friends. I'm glad we clarified that before we get into the rest of this, because by the end of this podcast, who knows if we're gonna be friends. Bro, you have a great beard. My last guest, Lucas Stevens, he had a mustache, and
okay.
he got really defensive because when somebody has a mustache, all they talk to them about is their mustache.
Well, because
it's
awful, and you should never just have a mustache.
Ooh, okay, wow. Hot takes are coming later, man. You don't have to throw that out.
Is that a hot take? I don't think, like...
The anti-mustache?
Outside of Provo, is anyone, like, pro-mustache?
Just take a shot at the Bravos, why don't you? I think that they're I think everyone has to have a mustache and a beard at some point. Every man
that's fair
should have a mustache and a beard at some point in their life. How long they have it, whether it's a permanent part of their lives, you can talk me into either way. But I think it's worth. It's, you gotta know, right? Like you have to know at least.
Yeah.
But so Brevin, I brought you on in part because you're my friend, and we did a podcast before, and this is good times.
We're
clarified cute. Friends, just no asterisk as far as I'm concerned. But also, yesterday we ran into each other at the gym, and I lightly brought up, dude, the debates happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were nuts. And 15 minutes later, Sydney grabbed your arm and pulled you away from me. We were deeply engaged. Now, I think that you have probably overprepared for this because I'm going to go a little bit more macro on you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Macro to micro, just a few things on the micro. But I'm going to sort of give you a demonstration of I want to explain backgrounds because I think this is really important.
Definitely.
I mean, we're two white dudes sitting in a room talking about our political beliefs. Yeah,
That's why we're 6 feet apart, not because of social distance.
Yeah, I mean, hold me back.
No,
but I just feel like there's some context in our upbringings. It's really important.
Yeah.
So I'll go through it. You don't copy me verbatim. That'd be weird. But but you get the gist. That's literally what our current presidential candidates do sometimes. They just copy each other like little children. So was born in Payson, Utah. Never lived there a day in my life. It's own little story. But so then I did 1 to 5, I was in Colorado. And then 5 to about 13, I was in Utah, in two different parts. One was sort of rural/city, which sounds stupid, but...
Isn't that all of Utah?
And then one was suburban. Well, one was Salt Lake, but it was up in the mountains, so it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was a lot of hippies. And then I went to suburbia, not a lot of hippies, I'll tell you what. And then I went from there to Northern California for 2 years, which is a lot of hippies. I'm sure we'll get to that in a second. And then I went to Southern California for my junior and senior year of high school. Closed out there, came back for school up here at Utah State. That's where I've lived. So I've seen a lot of different perspectives on any and everything, all over the board. And then, we're both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's a lot of beliefs that are inherently assumed about our faith or people of our faith. I think a lot of those are more flexible than the outside person would understand, specifically politically. There are definitely some fundamental things that I don't plan on getting into that, but that are, per member, usually pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of assumptions that I feel like are off base. That said, I probably fit into most of those. My dad is very conservative, there's conservative and Republican. I think conservative is the
nicer term.
Is it nicer?
I think it is.
I think Republican is just more technical. People say.
I guess you could say Republican is more of a label, and conservative is more of the way you lean or believe.
Level of Republicanism.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever that is. My dad's pretty hardcore. I look at myself as a quote unquote independent. That's probably just a closet Republican, to be honest. But I say independent.
I've said that a long time about the other side.
I think it's funny because I think that you are a quote unquote independent. That's a closet Democrat.
No, I agree.
It's
fair. That.
So I think it's that. I think it's funny we have a similar energy in this.
That's fair.
But I say it like that because I am appalled at our current president and current representative of the party. I'm not a huge party politics guy in general. I'm not a rooting for the team so much as hey, this doesn't work, so maybe let's not keep doing it. To summarize, I think what is the very simplest way, the very most fundamental, simple way to summarize what I believe about most politics and most government responsibility is to say that if a government system isn't working, I don't think that giving it more money is going to fix it. And I think that the money that has been so heavily thrown into specifically federal, but all levels of government, is better off in the hands of consumers and the working class, or just not in the government's hands.
Yeah,
that would be the way I would summarize it.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, there are a lot of assumptions made about like, oh, okay, so I hate poor people now. That's what people tell me, and I don't understand it because I just want them to have more money in their pocket.
Yeah.
But that would be like a summary of I feel like that's a good sort of background of like how I got here, where I stand. Issue to issue, it varies. Like, I'm not perfectly aligned one way or the other, but
which I think is good.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be. I don't think blind party allegiance is good.
No.
But yeah, so that's kind of my background. I think that gave a pretty good vibe.
Yeah.
If you want to go ahead.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, my dad was going to physical therapy school out there, and then I have no recollection of Georgia. So we moved to California when I was one. It's a town just south of San Jose, so not super big, I guess, but...
Onion capital of the world? No.
Garlic.
Garlic.
Yes, Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world.
Oh, it's Walla Walla.
I don't
Walla.
Know if that's, like, self-proclaimed or if that's, like, true, but there is a lot of garlic, and you can smell it all the time, so...
There's garlic festival?
There's a garlic festival.
It was crazy last year, right? Wasn't last year?
Last year there was a shooting at it.
That's nuts.
And then this year...
Is it, like, a dangerous place?
No.
Okay.
No, not normally, so I don't know. Like, I mean, it's not... safe like compared to Logan, but like
well, Logan, little town nestled in the
yeah
mountains.
Exactly. So so I grew up there my whole life. I was always the minority in schools, like I'm sure you were in, I don't know if you were in California, I guess it depends on what part, but like my, for example, my high school is like 70% Latino.
Dude, that's the best.
Like 20% Asian and like 8% white and then like some others, right? So all my friends growing up were Filipinos and Latino, you know, so I think that definitely influenced a lot of where I stand on things, especially like leaning on like subjects of race and like inequalities in that way, just because I feel like for the most part on, I don't want to dive too deep into it, but like with any kind of issue, especially with like race, it's just hard to be empathetic or sympathetic for the other side when you haven't lived around people that feel like they're being discriminated against, you know?
Right.
So, but that's kind of my background. So I would say, yeah, I'm definitely like a closet Democrat. I like to say I'm independent, but right now I'm definitely leaning more towards Democratic policies on most things.
To be sane.
But, you know, like you said, I think it's just not good to pick one side and stick with it. Like there shouldn't be blind allegiance because that's like a big problem right now. It's just how polarized everything is.
I don't
instead
think there's
of
good guys.
Finding
there's no
like
good
a middle
guys.
Guy. No, and that's the problem right now. There are no good guys. And so it's trying to figure out like which policies, what will happen with one of the bad guys and if that's worse than what's going on right now or if it's...
Yeah, I've heard the what's it called? Better of two evils. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. Yeah. Interesting. So I actually want to touch on what you said for just a second because I don't want to be too, whatever, white savior or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think that perspective thing is really important. I was interested in how Northern California and Southern California differed on this a lot. And that I feel like technically speaking, like if you looked at statistics or whatever, that I had probably the same amount of diversity in both areas.
Yeah.
Like if you went through like what people identified their ethnicity as, they were both the same. However, I was really surprised in that Northern California definitely had, it felt more culturally individual, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
where like there were a group, like there were a ton of Mexicans specifically. And I don't say that, it's just like generalizing Latino, I mean Mexicans, at my high school. And they hung out with each other and they were super like, literally like hot sauce, like hot Cheetos, hot sauce all the time. Like everything. It was like, oh yeah. Like,
hot
okay.
Cheetos is too white. They were eating like the Funyun rings
too
like, from the vendor.
Takis.
The
Takis were big. Yeah, that was big.
Yeah,
Takis, to be honest. Yeah. And no, but like they were like in on it and like a lot of black, like a lot of, like it was clearly kind of a click. And you know, some people weren't in that. It's not to say like, I don't want to generalize too far, but like this was my experience. And I was really interested that Southern California was way more whitewashed and that like there were all of those, all that diversity existed. I'm doing air quotes, podcast listeners, but existed. But I felt like everyone was like, it was all toned down and to like just be chill and like, bro, wear tank tops and vape, bro. Like, it was really interesting.
Hoodies
how,
and shorts.
That differed. And granted, in Northern California, I was in a small town, and in Southern California, I was in suburbia central. Yeah. So, like, suburbia also has a factor in that. But yeah, I think definitely. That's an LA thing, kind of in general, that it's more generalized. But I wanted to ask you, like, I think that politics is hilarious right now. You just mentioned the better of two evils thing. I think that's ridiculous. And we have two hilarious, three, we'll get to the third in a second, three hilarious candidates. And I just wanted to start out, like, people, there's a lot of negativity at the moment. I actually don't stand there, and I'll get to why in a second, but how are you feeling about America, and how are you feeling about things right now?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just a mess. Like, the debate last night, it was just like, like, granted, I'm 21, so I haven't seen that many debates.
Right.
And this is probably the first one that I've cared about.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. So I just think it's a mess. And, like, even, like, with the system we have currently, I think a lot of it is the system itself is the problem, and not just the candidates.
Policies.
Like, just the governmental policies that we have, mm-hmm. the way campaigns are run. Like, they waste so much money on these campaigns.
Yeah,
like,
money and politics.
So much money that could be used in other ways, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a mess right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, how do you feel about the future of America?
Well, it can't be any worse than this? Question mark.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, Brevin teamed me up here. Because I actually have, I'm a contrarian by nature. I think it'll pick up as this podcast goes along. But I was thinking about it. I've gotten better at evaluating my contrarian opinion before I just start spouting it off. But I actually was thinking about this. And people are talking a lot about America falling apart. And I think actually, or that this is like America's worst look, yada, yada. But I actually think that this is America's best look. And here's why. I mean, because, like, we have a system in place that, like, we have two of the biggest buffoons, which is, I mean, like, we came off of Hillary and Trump. So, like, the fact that we've made, like, only a slight upgrade on that is pretty insane.
And it's still not much worse than it was before.
Yeah, it's not even that much worse. Like, how is that possible? But, like,
that's fair.
I'm impressed that we have a system in place where we can limit those people.
Yeah.
And that, like, there's been a lot of fire words that are opinionated and subjective that have been thrown into journalism that, as a result, have been thrown into the ether. The biggest one being evil. I think that evil is a hilarious term. Like, if you want to call Trump stupid, if you want to call him inept, if you want to call him just ridiculously contentious.
Is evil too far? I don't know if it is.
What evil for me implies malicious, aggressive intent. Evil to me is somebody trying to murder, trying to steal, trying to do harm on purpose.
Okay.
And I just don't think anybody's that in politics. I don't think anybody's trying to do harm on purpose. Like,
I just don't know if Trump is smart enough to pull that off.
Well, exactly. Like, if you believe that, that's fine. But, like, I the whole idea that politicians are evil, or that the government is evil, or that business is evil, I think is super dangerous as an idea and as a language. I'm curious to see, like, how do you feel about, so there's a lot of these flame words. Evil is just one of them, for example. But, like, and I harped on you the other day about lies with subjective and objective, where Trump says there will be a plan in a few weeks, and then it's like, And then you yelled at me. You said, 3 weeks is a few. You yelled at me.
I'm pretty sure that's common knowledge. But.
I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, but, like, my point is that you could argue that, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, there's all these comments on lying when it's like, okay, it's not a lie. A few weeks maybe to him is freaking a year and a half. I don't know. But, like, what have you noticed about sort of that language and the way that people talk about things now?
Well, I think the first problem is how the media portrays it and just the snippets of what they say that you get.
So bad.
You know, like, you can't watch Fox or CNN.
CNN used to be, like, the slightly left-leaning.
Yeah, exactly. But,
not, like, but
now
not
it's,
insane.
Like, extreme, you know? And so, like, you can't just watch any news, I don't think, and just believe anything that they say. And so I just think, first of all, we need to do our research and actually look at what they said.
Yeah.
And then look at the facts of what they're saying instead of just reading whatever they tell us, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think what people are saying, I think there are a lot of lies on both sides and just a lot of, things that they say just to pull votes, you know?
No, for sure.
And I feel like those can be one and the same thing, you know, because Trump at the beginning of his administration promised all of these things and not many of them have happened. So if you don't want to call that a lie, that's fine. I think it's a partial lie, you know, because he's just trying to pull in those votes. But every politician does that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just the scale and the amount of just like misinformation that we're getting out of the current president.
Right.
That is just ridiculous. Like just the fact that it doesn't even feel presidential anymore, you know, like it's just a celebrity.
It never felt presidential.
It's a celebrity instead of like a president, you know. And so I think it's just very different the way information is being spread and how the media portrays it because of that attitude, I think. But
definitely. I think that's a two-way street. I think Trump controls his own narrative. I don't think he gets enough credit for that sometimes, not in a good way, but he has the media on his fingertip. Like he can, and he does it on purpose. He'll spit out inflammatory quote, and now that inflammatory quote is the news line for the week. And he does that to distract the media from this other thing.
We forgot
that
he's been impeached. Like,
wow. Oh, well, that impeachment was
like
bizarre.
People aren't even talking about
that. That was a
bizarre
impeachment. Like, let's be real. Because, like, okay, just tell me, like, in one sentence, what did he get impeached for?
He got impeached for Russia meddling with the elections and, like, him working with the Russian government for that to happen.
See, but yeah, anyway. I think it's funny you said for Russia meddling in our elections.
Yes. So, but like he was in communication with them wanting it to happen.
Right.
So,
but did that get proven?
Yeah. There's lots of information.
If it got proven, wouldn't he be impeached?
Well,
wouldn't he be out of the office?
The Senate had to vote that and they wouldn't do it because they're mostly Republican.
Well, see, that's where I think I don't think that's true, because what you just said would be evil. If they had evidence that this happened and it didn't happen.
Well, there's like a 20-page document outlining the things that he's done
by
the former FBI director.
But that's where you get into sources, and that's where you get into reliability, and that's where you get into, like, not to say that, like, I am not knowledged on this. I stayed away from it for a number of reasons. But I do think that, like, if he had done something that was objectively evil, bad, and worthy of him being out of the office, that regardless, there would have been at least 51, or it's 67, I think, for impeachment, right?
I'm not sure, but yeah.
I think there would have been the votes if the evidence was strong enough. I just believe that.
I
have that faith
in
humanity, I guess. I don't know if that's what that is.
I guess I don't, yeah.
But my point is that, but I agree with you that it's so polarized, and it's so angry, and it's part of what I just said. I'm a journalism major, and I'm a broadcast emphasis too, so I produce a news show every week, and our professors destroy us if we use subjective words. Mm-hmm. If we say, like, it was a fun event, they're like, that's not true. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, that's your opinion, but you can't say that. And it's like, oh, freak. But, like, there's so many of those words that now are just all through, like, these things, and it's like all these opinions, and it's just become this battle of, like, who can be louder.
And I think that's what the debate was too, is just a battle of opinions, I guess. Actually, the one takeaway I do have from the debate is that it actually brought the two sides together, because everyone agreed that it was awful. So it was like the first thing that had happened
together
in a couple
country
years
was
that
unified.
Really brought everyone together for a night.
Unified against the presidential candidates. Well, then vote for Joe Jorgensen. Have you watched the Joe Jorgensen, what's it called, video?
No.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, I just looked it up today because I had just seen the name, and I'm not convinced, and I would never vote for her. But
I
just think it's unfortunate, because, like, even if there is a candidate, a third-party candidate that looks good and has, like, good policies that we want to vote for, it's just, at this moment in time, it's a wasted vote, because they're not going to get elected, and they're never going to be able to pull enough votes. And so I'd just rather use my voice in a place where I know that it'll count towards something, even if I don't love where I'm putting my voice. I'd rather be like, this is what I'm going to do, because this is more of what I believe.
Right. But I've had that explained to me. A couple of different people have told me that that's how I should vote. And I'm not going to. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I was hoping to vote for Joe Jorgensen, vote for a woman and a third party candidate. Then I watched her policy video and I was like, okay, so this is a no-go. I need to stop hearing that the libertarians are the far right, because they are nowhere in the right. Like they're like,
somewhere.
They're out in the wilderness.
Yeah, I was reading her policies, and I was really confused at where she stood
right
on either side. So.
Yeah, no, libertarians are not far right. Let's just clarify. They are, because they're like, oh, yeah, like we just want free abortions and free weed. And I'm like, wah. Like, wah. And so, like, yeah, super far right. That's a really Republican idea. But, yeah, I am going to vote third party. I guess I don't know if there's a party attached to whoever I'll vote for. I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah. But I definitely, you know, I don't think the lesser of two evils is a healthy way to vote. I think that's, you know, you explained what makes sense, which is that, you know, the two-party system has made that vote, I guess you could say, more impactful. But I think, I don't know. This election, morally, you have Trump. I'm just gonna leave that there. I don't think I need to explain that. And then you have Joe Biden, whose vice presidential candidate believes the sexual assault accusers who accused him before, as like mid election. His vice presidential candidate outwardly said that she believed them, and she agreed to be his vice presidential nominee. So there's no winner. In either of those. I think that both of those are bad. I saw, we talked about this before, but I just want to throw it out there because I love it. This is a Joe Jorgensen tweet that said that Biden has been in office for 47 years. Don't fact check my list, but, and that's 19.26% of the entire history of the United States.
Yeah.
And then her follow-up was, if you want change, don't vote for that guy, which I just, you know, I believe. And also, this one's kind of weird, but... you know, I think if a guy is fit to be president, it would have happened sooner. Like, it sounds terrible. Like, it sounds kind of ageist, I guess. Yeah. But, like, you know, if he had it in him, it would have happened before now. I don't think that there's, like
I just think money is the big problem, though, because even if you are a good human being who has, like, the best intentions, the best policies, if you don't have enough money to campaign, like, you're not getting anywhere. You know, and even that's even at like the local levels.
Yeah.
You know, and so like even if you're running for like mayor of a city, if you don't have, it's basically just whoever has the most funds and sponsors is going to win right now. And so I think that's a big problem.
Do you think we should take money out of politics?
Out of campaigns for sure.
See, yeah. I agreed with you for a long time, but then, you know, my contrarian mind, the gears start turning. And I was thinking about this, and this is so terrible. This is like in my head, like what I'm going to say sounds so terrible, but I actually think it could work. Which is, instead of taking the money out, let's just put more money in. So, okay, because hear me out. Because listen, right now, the only incentive, if you're a politician, is fame. Like, to become a politician is fame. Because, you know, the money that you're getting paid from the government is substantial. It's not nothing. But it's not, like, get-rich money. It's not, like, if you really want to go get rich, you go into the private sector.
Yeah.
And as a result, a lot of really, really smart people go into the private sector and they make lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
But what if, like, you can make crazy money being a senator? Would those people then in turn be incentivized to be senators? And then I have smarter senators?
Okay, I could see that a little bit more.
It's a little...
I thought you meant more money into campaigns. I was like, absolutely not.
No, for sure, no.
Raising some salaries of, like, the highest positions, maybe, but, like...
No, that's an evil idea. I mean,
yeah,
in theory...
As it came out of my mouth, it sounded really bad.
It still sounds bad to me. But, like, and I failed to mention, there's also the possibility and hopefully the reality that people are running because they believe in certain policies and they want those.
Yeah.
I'm sure that a certain percentage of our government is made up of those people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to discredit them. Mm-hmm. I think it's less than it should be. Yeah. I think a lot of people are in it for fame and less than... Then get into it for fame, stay in it for fame.
Yeah.
Like, they get there, and all they care about is re-election.
I know.
But
especially with the short campaigns, they're already re-campaigning right when they get in office.
Yeah, especially for House.
Yeah.
Like, the Senate.
Yeah, for the House.
I don't know if it should change necessarily because it's so small a population that you're running for. But anyway, it was just my evil nonsense thought.
Yeah.
But enough of that. That's ridiculous. I'm just, I feel sad.
Yeah,
but,
sad.
I don't know if you'll be happy or sad. What, game one of the finals?
I mean,
Miami got wrecked.
I was surprised that they got destroyed like they did.
They got wrecked. Just picked
apart.
It was
honestly pretty sad. Like, it was close in the first quarter. Like, the Heat were up by 14, and then LeBron said no.
LeBron said no, right? Yeah. It was intense.
Yeah. No, I don't see the Heat coming back after that, especially with the injuries that they might have.
Yeah.
I heard Bam might be out.
Dragic.
And Dragic has a torn plantar fascia.
Is that the quick recovery one? There's one of those weird foot ones that you can come back right away, but I don't know if that's the one.
Well, that just hurts like heck because that's like the padding on your heel and on your foot, the bottom of your foot. So like every time you step, it hurts. So a lot of people have like plantar fasciitis and it's just sore all the time and it hurts to walk.
Yeah.
But a torn plantar fascia, that's like intense pain. So if he's playing, he's going to have like a super padded
limp
shoe and he's not going to be moving nearly as good. And then who else was? And then I heard Jimmy Butler rolled his ankle a few times. He'll be fine.
He rolled his ankle. It didn't seem serious with him. Bam did hurt his shoulder.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
And that is the same one that was already bothering him a couple games back. So.
Yeah. I think the thing that really stuck out to me, and then this is going to air on Monday, so I think, I don't know if that's one game or two games will happen by then. Probably two.
Probably two.
So it could be 3-0 or it could be however that works out. But the thing that really was important to me that I didn't see was Anthony Davis had his way with the Heat. Just had his way. Yeah. And that's the one thing where I was really – and granted, the Bam injury comes into play, but even with Bam not being injured, Anthony Davis was doing whatever he wanted.
Yeah. Well, and, like, that – honestly, like, I'm really sick of watching the Lakers, mostly because of free throws. Like, I'm just not a fan of watching teams take 30 free throws a game. And I was looking at some stats before, and it does show that the Lakers in the last three games are averaging 30 free throw attempts a game. And Davis, I'm sure – I don't know how many he had of those, but he always gets to the line so much. And so does LeBron. You know, he gets all the calls that he wants. But – and then Miami has had 23 over the last three games. So, like, Miami, at the beginning of the season, they were getting – they had, like – I think they were second in free throws attempted during the season, and the Lakers were, like, in the middle of the pack somewhere.
Yeah.
But they're just getting to the line too much, and they're – I don't know. Dwight Howard didn't foul as much as he usually does in these games. So
Dwight's been playing good, which is like,
yes.
I don't know. I
want to root for him, but I don't want to.
I know.
Because he's on the Lakers. Is that?
So I don't root for the Lakers in general. Like, I think they're overdogs. I'm kind of rooting for LeBron because I'm just kind of sick of the anti-LeBron narrative.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets to five titles, like, can we just call him the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
Like, I get that he's still short enough of Jordan, because Jordan has the six, right? Yeah. And he went 6-for-6.
But, like, this guy's been in the finals 10 times.
10 times. And, like, then, like, people go, like, well, how did he not win that many? And I go, because he had no roster every single time. And actually, the one that sneaks up on me the most, and that this will forever be lost in, like, lore, which is that, do you remember in 2016, in the finals, Kyrie and Kevin Love both out, and LeBron almost won game one. I think there was like a controversial play.
No, I was just watching the highlights today, actually, and they missed two shots to go ahead at the end of the game to win it, like 2 3-pointer. I think JR missed a shot, and then LeBron missed the last shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he had won that game, they ended up winning the second game two in Cleveland, or game two in Golden State.
Yeah.
So then he would have been up 2-0 going home to Cleveland in Golden State. Literally is a one-man show against, like, one of the – I think that was a 73-9 team as well.
Yeah.
No, that was the next year.
No, 73-9.
No, because he beat the 73-9.
Yeah, that was 16. I think you're thinking
that was 16 was just when – because the Warriors won.
Was it 17 that they blew it?
17, they had 73-9.
Okay.
But, like, he almost won that series alone. Yeah. Like, alone.
I mean, he took the Cavaliers as a rookie to the – How?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
The Cavaliers were like the first 5 years he's on the team.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he had like 10 assists. And you're like, who's the second leading scorer? And it's like, Daniel Gibson. And you're like, who? And you're like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, after LeBron left, he didn't have a career.
Yeah.
And, I think he's the best of all time.
I think so, too.
I think right now he's the best talent of all time. I don't think that's negotiable in any way, shape, or form. I think there's the best winner of all time, that's still Bill Russell.
Yeah.
I don't think that's close, actually. But then greatest of all time, if you want to go for just like persona, gravitas and like just F you. Like Jordan still has that. However, we're starting to see in this series actually LeBron having the similar effect where like Jay Crowder's like trying to like foul him hard. And LeBron just, like, looks at him. It's funny.
Yeah, he was, like, beating his chest. Literally. He was, like, looking straight at Davis. He's like, let's go.
And it was, like, in this way that it's funny that his nickname is the King because he literally looked at Jay Crowder like he was a peasant. It was, like, oh, you think you can even pretend to be on my level, Jay Crowder?
No, like Jay Crowder, like, he's kind of a scary dude. Like, if he's staring you down, you're usually scared. But the way LeBron was looking at him, Jay Crowder looked, like, worried for his life.
Yeah, and I would be, too, LeBron was staring at me. Like, it was literally...
With, like, his frown that he does, like, his growl frown that he has, like, signature face now.
His blank face. His, dude. And I think he's the greatest of all time. I don't think... I'm trying not to overreact to say that the Heat are done.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, though.
I know.
It's really... Yeah.
I mean, we were all like, oh, the Nuggets are just playing it out to go down 3-1 again, but now that's
not a thing.
Like, I think the Heat will take a game, you know, but I don't think it's going more than 5.
I think they will.
It depends on Bam.
It does.
I think a lot rests on Bam because, like, Kelly Olynyk, he's not going to guard Davis.
No, he's not. Nobody's going to guard Davis. They had Crowder and Iguodala.
Yeah, which I could see. That would be better, but still, like, Davis
Crowder
is just
sturdy enough. Iguodala, though, I don't know.
Yeah.
Every time I watch those games, though, man, Iguodala's arms. I don't know what his wingspan is, but it just feels
so
like it's
long.
Like 9 feet tall. I'm like, holy crap.
I agree with that.
I think the one thing people didn't think about hard enough going into the series was people were all talking about Bam Adebayo's defense, and they're like, oh, maybe he can slow Davis down.
Yeah.
People forgot that Anthony Davis.
Offense. And defense.
But what I was going to get to is his defense, which is like, he shut down Bam Adebayo. Yeah. Bam had nothing going offensively because he had Anthony Davis guarding him.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's the thing that stuck out to me. And I had never made a pick in my head, but I've always thought the Lakers were going to win it. But I always thought that because people talked all about the Heat and their defense and like that they match up well with LeBron and Davis. But I think LeBron and Davis are generational talents. And so, like, I don't really care if you have the bodies. And I also don't care because the Lakers' defense is ridiculous. Like, when they turn it up, like, so stingy.
Well, LeBron, when he turns on his defense, like, he doesn't get enough credit for that.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, I actually was just watching because it was his 10th finals, and they showed, like, a highlight from each finals. Do you remember the Thiago splitter block?
Oh, yeah. I think about that all the time.
It's the meanest.
Just like,
so I watched
it, tracks.
And they have two angles. They have the front angle, right? And I watched it the first time on that front angle. I'm like, maybe he just came from the side, and that's why it looks so. So then I get the backboard angle, and I kid you not, there's a 6'11", 280-pound guy going in for a dunk, and a different guy who's 6'9", and 290 pounds, jumps up, and straight on, one hand, like, literally the opposite side of the other, meet the ball in the same place, and LeBron, with less momentum, fighting like a 300-pound center, like rejects that shot.
It's
and it's
ridiculous.
Like, oh my goodness, just absorbs him. And you're like, how on earth?
Like, do you think Andre Iguodala, like, every time he steps on the floor, has flashbacks now? Like, does he just see LeBron swatting it off the backboard time he has the ball in his hands?
Legit. Like, how do you take a layup after the – I think there's a quote – LeBron's watching. It's like LeBron watching that finals 2017, and when the block happens, when he's doing the rewatch, he says, "He's like, that's when I became the greatest of all time." And I was like, "Let's go!" First of all, go you for saying that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think it's the Lakers in 5. That's where I stand.
That's what I kind of think too.
Coming out of game one, but I'm saying that mostly out of pity. In my head, I want to say 4-0. Like
I do too, but I just feel like team usually pulls one off somehow.
You mentioned the Braves earlier in this. It was Ozuna with the
selfie. Marcell Ozuna.
So I don't like baseball. I'm pretty open about this. I like soccer more than baseball. I like Quidditch. No, I don't. That's not true. But who invents a sport where you hold a stick between your crotch? Never mind. It's fine. And so why should I like baseball?
All right.
I've got a few reasons here. Is that good?
All right.
Good
first
joke?
Of all,
no, bad joke. Cool.
Baseball is fun as a fan. You know, sometimes it's not fun to watch, but baseball, I believe, hardcore is the most superstitious sport of all time.
Ooh.
Okay. Which can be really fun. Like, for example, today, Okay, when I was younger, I found like a Burger King figurine at a baseball park. We ended up winning like our two games that day. I kept that thing in my bag the rest of the season. Okay, today, the last game, the Braves just swept, right? And the last game before this, I wasn't wearing any Braves gear because I was at work. I came home and watched it quick, right. And they won. Yeah. So today, I didn't wear any Braves gear until after they won the game. Okay, and it's not just me. Like, this is a normal superstitious thing to do for people that watch baseball. And, like, the sportscasters get into it while they're there. There's, like, the famous sportscaster jinx. I think that's the most hardcore thing in baseball rather than any sport.
Oh, so wait, what's the jinx?
Anytime they, like, give you an absurd stat about, like, this team has never won in, like, the last 50 games, they definitely will win that next game. Like, or this guy hasn't had a hit in, like, three games. That's going to be a home run. Like, the jinx is hard.
Do they do it on
baseball.
Purpose? Like, is it, like, a common thing? Like, people just...
They call themselves out on it sometimes, which I think makes it even more real now.
Big sign. I mean, like, if you're
yeah,
aware
yeah.
of it.
So I think maybe they do it. They don't really tell you what team they're rooting for, so maybe they do it on purpose. I'm not sure.
That's amazing. Okay, that's actually okay. So, I'm gonna be honest. Like coming into this, like I was pretty skeptical that you were throwing anything at me. You already had me a little bit. They're like crazy superstitions. That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my other thing. Okay. Just statistically speaking.
Oh, goodness.
If we're going over sports. Okay.
Okay. All right. Now,
football is the worst sport to watch. American football. Okay.
Interesting. That's a hot take.
We have to go. Yeah. You know, I'll just combine this with my hot take because this is part of my take for the day. Okay?
Do you have your hot take? Do you want
to? I have a take, and this is my take. Okay. Football is one of the worst sports to watch, and soccer is much better to watch than football. Okay.
Wow.
And I pulled up some stats here.
I'm insulted. Okay? That's BS. Are you doing international stats?
If we're talking about
me?
Live action time, like the ball is live in play.
I'm so upset.
Soccer, over 60 minutes of live action. Football, 11 minutes. Even baseball.
11 minutes?
Even baseball is 18 minutes. That's even more than American football.
Both of those are pathetic. I'm pretty pissed that
they're pathetic, but...
Sorry, basketball is what, 48? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, basketball is somewhere in between, right? So, like, basketball is one of... I think that's my favorite sport to watch. But yeah. After that goes baseball. But anyway, other reasons to get back into baseball, all right? Or to get into baseball, because you
Yeah,
because
I'm going to hit you hard on that take in a second. That's the most ridiculous take
I've
ever
heard. That's fine. Okay, in baseball, teams can stay good. But bad teams can also become good a lot quicker than in other sports. Okay.
Really?
The Browns in football, they're never going to be good.
I don't
right?
know what the deal is there.
They're never going to be good.
Yeah.
Even with their draft picks. Okay. But in baseball, like teams can go from World Series champions like the Nationals last year to not making the playoffs next
Isn't that
year.
That,
and that happens consistently.
The Giants did that on purpose, it felt like.
Oh,
they would like win a championship
no, yeah.
and they'd sandbag it.
No,
and then like, the next year,
and next year they're great, you know? So like teams can switch back and forth so much. So it makes every year interesting. There's always a new up and coming team.
I mean, okay, so I'm a Tigers fan. Like when's my day coming? Are you trying to
Yeah, I'm sorry for you right now.
I don't follow baseball, so to call myself a Tigers fan is already ridiculous. But
they haven't been good for a while.
But I don't
And there's obviously still some teams. Like, the Cubs didn't do anything for, like, 90 years, you know, and then they got
true.
Good.
So maybe
Astros,
I got, like, another 70.
The cheaters, we hate them, but they did get good for a little
Dude,
a second.
Dude, the Astros,
okay.
super cheaters. There's, like, a name for them.
The asterisks.
Asterisk. Dude, that's the best. Okay. Like, rooting for baseball for a second, like, best sports insult ever thrown
oh,
around.
No,
the
this
Houston
is,
asterisks.
Honestly,
that's amazing.
Like, other than for the Dodgers, who paid the price and lost that World Series, it's been a great thing for baseball. It's gotten a lot of recognition, and baseball needed a good scandal to get it back up and running. And
to
then
get it back to anywhere.
And now, like, there's a lot of young players, a lot of, like, Dominican players and overseas players that are coming in, and they're actually trying to make the game fun. You know, there's all these, like, unwritten rules in baseball that have kept it boring for so long.
Little,
like you're supposed to be nice
like
to each other, but, like, why? Like, why, you know? So, like, Marcelo Ozuna, today I was telling you, he hits a home run to go up 3-0, and he stops halfway to first base, turns around and pretends to take a selfie with the rest
Air
of the
selfie?
Braves dugout.
That's amazing.
And
that's
then runs
so
around the
bases fantastic.
And finishes.
I am so into those FUs.
You know,
like
and
I
then
saw,
like there's another player, Fernando Tatis Jr., he plays for the Padres.
Yeah.
They're up like 10-0 and the bases are loaded and or like the base there's like two guys on base. And what you're supposed to do in that situation is not swing when it's 3-0, when there's three balls and no strikes. You know, you're supposed to let them throw a strike basically, which is stupid. 3-0, he hits a grand slam. And so it's just like, just these in-your-face things that baseball is bringing back. And so it's been really fun to watch lately. There's a lot more action and more, like, player involvement.
Well, I think
hyped,
it's second to hockey and fights, which is dope.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I saw when they throw a pitch at the hitter and, like, the hitter just freaking loses it. Like,
oh,
that's dope. I'm like, okay.
There was one, like, 10 years ago where he threw it at the batter, and the batter ran up and jumped and cleated him.
Wait, like karate kick?
Yeah, like karate kick.
Dude! Wow, superstitions, yeah. Karate kicks. I'm really starting to get into this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I also think the thing I love most about baseball, especially playoff baseball, postseason baseball, is that there's pressure literally on every pitch. So, like, every pitcher, whoever's in the game, everything rests in his hand at that moment. And so, like, you know, whereas in football, you have four downs, right, to make it to the next first down, and then there's the next one, right? In other sports, in basketball, there's timeouts, and it stops, and there's more possessions. There's a ton more possessions. In baseball, you've got three strikes to either make or break what you're going to do in the postseason, you know? And you don't know how many chances you're going to get at the plate. You don't know.
Does that not give you – did you play Little League?
Yeah.
Did that give you anxiety? Like, would you go up and be like –
Oh, yeah. Baseball,
like – dude.
I think I felt more nervous in baseball than like any other sport I've ever played, just because of that factor. Because I was a pitcher too, and it's the worst.
You were a pitcher?
I was a pitcher and played first base, and like
pressure. Aren't those the two like most important positions?
No. I mean, it depends. Like, pitcher is probably one of the most important because
Well, first base isn't.
First base, there. I think all the rest of them are pretty important. Pretty shortstop is usually super important. But,
oh yeah.
But yeah, pitcher. So like pitcher, there's just so much pressure on the pitcher at all times, and like. Once you've watched it enough, you realize what situations they're in, and like you can just see like the intensity of the game just go up as time
the
goes
by.
The
goofiness factor with pitchers doing those little signals, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that. But it is a lot. I will say, so I don't like baseball. You haven't fully persuaded me, although I'm buying into these things that you're selling me out. I will say that the baseball highlights are better than almost any sport. Yeah. I think it's because of the rarity.
Yeah.
And because of how crazy they have to be. Like, has to, like, when somebody, like, scales the wall and, like, jump catches it, that's, like, the dopest crap I've ever seen.
Or when
that's
you hit a home run 490 feet, it's, like, just an absolute bomb. Yeah.
But it's just a bad investment of my time when I would do that for, or, like, 6-7 hours of, like, just nonsense.
And even me as an avid baseball fan, like, I don't watch normal season games, like, all of them.
Just playoffs only.
I don't even watch all 9 innings of any game in the normal season, I don't think. I'll watch recaps or just highlights. But postseason, like, I'm locked in because every pitch.
I got to zing you now because you said something earlier that I'm still offended by. And we'll break it down. But, like, you think that – so take me through it. What's your hot take? I just want to restate it.
I think American football is way overhyped.
Oh.
And I think soccer is way underhyped in America. Not everywhere else, because everywhere else people respect it like it should be.
Oh, man.
But, like
– 7-year-old me might agree with you.
But, like, American football, like, it's not that great. I don't know. I don't love any of them. You don't even know anyone's names on the team other than, like, three people.
Are we doing a double pitch on this right now? Should I pitch you football?
Sure.
Okay, let me pitch you football. Okay, so I actually agree with you on some levels because I think football is really boring. I think the setup really sucks. And I didn't get it for a long time. And for what it's worth, I think basketball is better than both, so I don't really care.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But I will say that, this is the same way I got into basketball. I'm like 11 years old. No, like 13 years old. And I get NBA 2K11. And I was like, this is the dopest thing ever. Yeah. Like all of a sudden I'm playing and I'm like learning all these things and I'm observing. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I learned all about basketball. And then like by the time I even got to a court, it was like I learned all these things from playing this stupid video game. So at a certain point, I was like, I burned out on NBA, and not that like I kept buying them forever and I played them all the time, but like I was like, okay, I need to switch it up, and like the whole like Friday Night Lights, high school football, oh, we're all gonna go to the game, like why, it sucks. And what I didn't realize is that back then people would go for girls, and now I was just way out of loop on that. But me, I'm like, all right, well, let's figure this out. So I got NCAA football, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think the last one was 2014. I had one of those last ones too, but the one I played a lot was. Maybe it was like 11. Anyway, one of those. And there's a mode. It's like it's the like play from the point of view of a quarterback mode where like you get to like call the plays and like run the team. And I realized that like football is a lot more of a strategy sport than it is like a sport how we interpret soccer or how we interpret basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, like there's action constantly, or even baseball. It's like it's pretty simple, like hit the ball, like making the hoop, making the goal. But football, like, everything is coordinated all the time.
Yeah.
And so that really changed my perspective on football to, like, understand. And high school football didn't get that much more interesting because it was like, oh, they ran it.
Yeah,
or, like, oh, they threw a slant pass. Like, wow,
like
crazy.
Running back isn't good.
There's, like, three plays that they run, right? But it did make college football. I don't like the NFL that much. I still follow it because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think college football is awesome. I think that's great.
That's fair.
But I have to counter you on soccer because soccer is super boring, bro. Like, you watch soccer on a TV and it's like, okay, the ball got kicked there, out, and he got swarmed by two guys. Doesn't have the ball anymore, and then he got kicked over there. Like, and he also just got swarmed by two guys, and now he nope. And no, oh, but the ball's going that way. Maybe oh, but this time the guy took it. He's going the other way. Oh, but this time the other team has two guys that are going to him, so he's gonna kick it again.
I just think that there's no bigger stage than the World Cup, and so that if we're talking sweet. World Cup soccer, I would watch that over anything.
Do you remember? Was it 2012? I remember when I was young, like. Young, there was a World Cup. I don't remember what year it was.
It's either 10, 14, or 18.
10? It must have been 10.
South Africa.
10 was awesome. Like, I remember being a 10, and, like, I started learning about it, and I was like, this is cool.
That's
like,
the year
everyone
I got
was involved.
Hyped about, hyped yeah, about it, I think too. That year, Landon Donovan
it must
had,
have
like,
been FIFA, but FIFA was starting to gain steam. That's probably why people were getting into it.
Yeah, like, Landon Donovan that year in the World Cup, he had, like, a go-ahead goal in, like, the, like, 95th minute of, like, stoppage time to, like, win. So then they got out of the group stage. Like, yeah, there's a lot of crazy things happening.
Crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
Go America. Back when we had American pride. You think that soccer is better than American football?
Okay. I think it depends on which leagues we're talking about.
Man, I hope we don't have any Texan listeners. Otherwise, it's game for you. It's game for me. I love football. There's something American about football that I stand for as well, which, like, I get if you don't, I guess, whatever, teach their own. But also, no, F that, dude. Soccer sucks. I don't know
no,
who am I kidding.
Not.
Soccer sucks, bro.
You sold me on football there for a second. I do like the strategy. I think baseball, though, I think it's a similar thing where, like, if you play it or if you've watched enough, there is, like, a ton of strategy that goes into, like, what pitches you're throwing. Are you using a pinch runner?
Yeah.
Are you going to bunt in this situation? What's your plate approach? Like, you're not just trying to hit a home run
it's
every time.
It's not like kickball where you either just try to kick it out
or
you
exactly.
try to bunt.
Like, you're trying to either just foul it off or you're trying to do this. So I feel like it's somewhere in football where, like, if you've played it, then you understand the strategy. But if not, like, or if you haven't played, like, a game like that where – because, like, I honestly don't understand – football strategy very much.
Yeah,
I think that would make it a lot more interesting. Also, the Broncos suck, and that's my team, so I have a hard time watching. By the way, they play the Jets tonight. They're both 0-3. I don't think I want to watch. I don't want to know that we're the worst team.
Yeah, dude, they're terrible. The Jets are worse, so you got that going for you.
Maybe
your whole team got injured though.
Yeah, they're all injured right now. So
I'm not sure you would have been that much better, but still, like, it's like.
But if we had our best receiver, and
I guess Von Miller is like freaking one of the best.
Von Miller's a beast, and then we had Drew Lock get hurt, who looked
Von Miller
good
was,
in his first game.
He was the Super Bowl MVP, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, geez, Von Miller.
Wasn't Peyton Manning. He had like 130 yards.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was awful. But, well, I remember because Cam Newton was amazing, and in that game got shredded because of Von Miller. Yeah, so I'm not in. I don't believe you. But it's actually – we started this podcast on politics. As an American, I accept – soccer. I'm calling it soccer. Emphasis.
That's
everybody
okay.
hear that? It's
that's
called
okay.
soccer, and it's not better than football. But, Brevin, we did it.
We did it.
We made it. Thank you for coming on. For Brevin Zollinger. All right, Brevin Zollinger.
That's all right.
I'm Josh Davis. Thank you for listening. Turnaround J Podcast.